It's time for Golf DMV, the podcast highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Low handicap, high handicap, or somewhere in between. If you love golf, you're in the right place. PGA, LPGA, industry trends. Golf DMV has it covered. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
A day late, but never a dollar short. We're never a dollar short when LB's on the team.
Well, I was going to say.
We could be a day late, but we're never a dollar short.
I don't think we're a day late. We're hours late.
Well, that's
no, we're a day late. It's not coming out till Tuesday.
Well, it's a podcast, and sometimes schedules are different. LB was on travel. Sherm had some stuff going on this weekend earlier in the day, and I had something going on later in the day on Sunday. Right. And so we couldn't do the podcast.
But
we
it's
were
still
going
a day
to do late. It at like 10:30 at night.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then age kicked in.
Yeah, I mean, because
it was
recorded.
Because it was a semi-holiday. So,
well, it was not, I mean, I had to work.
And you know how we celebrate President's Day?
By working.
On Golf TV. You know, which is not at all.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Not
right now. Not for at least for another year.
Ride down Pennsylvania Avenue and throw rocks at the fence.
But the other issue was the weather last night, because it was 32 degrees and raining. And it was like, look, this thing could get
you don't
ugly.
Like to go out the house when it's raining.
I'm not worried about the rain.
Okay.
But it was, the temperature was like,
it was dropping.
Because then I started getting weather alerts like, hey, it could, you know, there could be some ice, be careful. And I'm like, why don't we just do this tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, like I said, Sierra was singing at the Kennedy Center at this Living the Dream, Singing the Dream event, Dr. King's, you know, Black History Month.
Right.
And so I said, hey, I'm going dark. Just text me. It is what it is, you know. And
yeah.
So we just decided to do it on Monday.
Has your wife ever sang at the Kennedy Center?
Has mine? No.
Yeah, mine neither. So congrats to your wife. Two years.
We've been to the Kennedy Center.
Right. And a lot of people to go to the Kennedy Center.
It's a wonderful thing. She's got a great voice.
Yes, she does.
She's a wonderful singer.
Wonderful talent.
So we've got some golf stuff to talk about today. Genesis Open. There's some Tiger stuff. JB Holmes win. Justin Thomas chokes away a four-stroke lead.
I'm not going to say choke. I think that's a bit much. Go ahead. We'll go continue with your open.
This is an interesting development
here.
We also have a young golf stud in the DMV. We're going to highlight him. We'll talk a little Cameron Champ. We also got basketball updates. Sherman was back at Upwards League refereeing.
Yes, with my buddy Parker.
Yeah, with the kid on my team who cries the whole time.
Cries and sucks his thumb.
Drag him around the whole time.
Yeah.
We'll have a Parker up there a little bit later.
And I almost kicked a kid out.
Yeah, this kid needs to get ejected. I'll tell you about the time. So last week, I'm disciplining the same kid and myself, Coach K, you know, we're all telling us, look, you got to stop being a goon. You know what I mean? We're telling like, stop it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Him and some other guy, the other goon.
The
wasn't
other
even,
kid wasn't there. And Bernanda said, oh, the bad one wasn't here.
Right.
And I said, wait a minute.
There's another bad one.
There's one worse.
And so we're sitting there and, you know, I can, even though they're just 5 and 6 year olds, I can get a little competitive, right? So juices are flowing. I'm disciplining this kid and stuff. So Sierra stands up like, man, y'all got to do something about that kid.
Oh.
I turn around like, I'm handling this shit. You need to chill out.
You need to sit down.
And it's a bunch of, right? It's a bunch of 5 and 6 year olds.
Four games. Or 5 year olds.
And so, like, it's not a loud gym. It's not you know, Cameron Indoor. You know what I mean? So all you heard is, you need to sit down and chill out. Out. And so she's like, okay.
Wait till we get home. We're going to settle this when we get home.
Yeah, and so, you know, we talked about that and all as well. So anyway.
So I was going to ask you, how comfortable was the couch?
No, I apologize via text. And she said, got on the phone. She was like, you know, how are you going to come at me like that in the game? I was well, you was coming at me. I was like, look, I'm in the game. I'm trying to coach these boys. I got one kid here. I'm going back and forth. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm intense sometimes in competition.
Right.
Even if it's 5 and 6 year olds.
Yeah.
And you get heckling from the
stage. And then all of a sudden she screams out. And I just turn around. I said, see, to me, it felt like you were on 10. Mm-hmm. And so me on 10 plus the adrenaline and competition is a 25. I get it.
Yeah.
And so I overdid it a little bit. And so I said to text. So I got off the phone. When we got off the phone, it still wasn't settled.
Oh, no.
When I got off the phone, it was still like, you know, whatever.
You were still on the couch at that point.
Right. And then I said, hey, you know what? Maybe I was a little overboard.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
And then it was all good.
It takes a big man.
She let it go after that?
Yeah. Well, outwardly. I'm sure inwardly she's still holding it against me.
Right. Normally, like, okay, well, thank you for apologizing. But you still know, like, yes, that's why I apologize. Yeah.
No, outwardly she let it go, but I'm sure she's still holding on inwardly. That's just what happened.
You're a good man because you apologize. I would have never apologized. I like to have a bedroom. Hell with you.
Okay.
till I get needs, then I'll come back.
Oh, well, there we go. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So anyway,
as we all know, LB's life does not resemble any of ours.
Not at all. So the Genesis Open, JB Holmes wins. Yes. He beats out Justin Thomas. I think it's a you come into the final round with a 4-stroke lead.
Yes. Yes, he did have a
4-stroke lead. And JT is usually
not a choke.
He's usually solid, meant like he, you yeah. know. But go ahead, LB. How's that not a choke?
The reason I,
which by the way, I think is a different kind of stance for LB because you're tough.
You're pretty hard on people.
Well, the reason I don't classify this so much is if it's on a scale of 1 to 10, is a choke on a choke scale. I'm gonna give him like a 4.
Okay.
Okay. And the reason is because one, the weather. Mm-hmm. The weather was screwy. The greens were difficult to putt. They really were. A lot of breaks in them. You had 30 mile per hour winds. They've been playing, they played 12 hours the day before.
Right.
Because they had to play with the first and second round on Friday. And then,
yeah.
So they played a lot of golf in 3 days.
Right.
So I kind of give him a little bit of pass on that. And the weather was not cooperating at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, did he miss some putts? Yes, yes.
Oh,
he
boy.
Oh, he and
that 4-putt on.
Right.
What was that? Is that can 6?
Can I ask one question?
Yes.
Or maybe it was 13.
Did J.B. Holmes also have to play in the same weather on the same greens?
Yes, he did. And the same amount of time. I discussed that this morning with my Louisville native friend.
Just say his name.
Well, Rod and I talked about that this morning.
Thank you.
Well, of course,
we all know you and your boyfriend were talking. Just get it out.
Because, dude is from Campbellville, Kentucky.
Okay. He is J.B. Holmes?
J.B. Holmes from Campbell, which is right outside Louisville.
Nice.
I've been to Campbellville just as a side note. It's a golf course there.
Oh, okay.
Why else?
Why else? Yes. I was wondering. So the top five. I mean, just to your point, this is why I think it's a choke.
Right.
J.B. Holmes -1 on the round.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Justin Thomas +4. Mm. Kim -5. McIlroy -2. Leishman -3.
Okay.
Right.
So boys were dropping putts. I mean,
the four were under par, and he choked with a +4.
Well, again, so when he shanked it over into the 10th fairway or whatever.
Yo, how funny was that?
Yes. I loved seeing it.
How funny. I mean, that was a straight up Claude Jennings shank.
Well, we've all done it.
Well, that was all done it. I mean, that was
it was a Bush League shank. It was a Montgomery County golf shank.
Right. It was an old gunpowder open shank.
And I didn't think about this the announcer said, somebody held up a club. And they, okay, that's right. I watch a different feed from y'all, so I see different stuff. But they held, they held up a golf club, and they were showing it on the screen. Mm-hmm. They said the difference between a shank and a sweet shot is like a quarter of an inch on your club.
I would definitely agree with that.
Right. So he shanked it.
So I'm so close to great shots.
Exactly.
I'm so close.
You're a quarter inch off or so. You know what I mean? There's a very small room for error.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then you have to give him credit for the next shot.
Right.
Because if I just shanked it over that far and then my next shot to the green, it might get to the green, but it's not going to be 4 feet from the pin.
Yeah, no, he strike.
You
that
know what I mean?
Shot,
so
yeah.
He came. So that's why, and even to that, back to my point of it, not so much being a choke, because if he was going to choke, that's another opportunity for a massive choke. And people kind of, you kind of get a pass for that. But
he came
right back and sank it, though. You know what I mean? So.
Still choke. Justin Spieth shot +10.
10, right.
Where in the world is Jordan Spieth?
I mean, what I said, Justin?
No,
doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, Jordan. Yeah.
It don't matter.
So the first day, though,
Jay Spieth.
Yeah.
Where is he?
Well, no, remember, he
no
strikes
he's
fear
not.
Into,
top
the,
10.
Into the
hearts
amateur,
of other
amateurs when he comes up, when he shows up.
All he had to do was shoot par, and he would have finished 7th.
Wow.
He finished 51st.
I did actually see him. And did you see him in the bunker?
No.
Okay.
Did he do a Sergio?
Oh, well, no. Not in that sense.
Nobody
score,
does Sergio.
The score was pretty bad, though, because he went +3 on that hole, I think.
Oh, okay.
So what happened? He got into the bunker, and it was buried. And he had to get it up over the lip. So he took as much sand as he could, and it didn't get out of the bunker.
Mm.
And now with... And so his second shot out of the bunker, the ball was about, and I kid you not, it was like 3 inches from the lip at this point. And uphill too.
Ooh.
So he
this place sounds like a like Prez.
Yeah. So you can hear him. And they again, he's mic'd up. They're not mic'd up, but they have the cat. You can hear him.
Right.
He's talking to his cat. He said, you know, if I hit this, the best I can hope for is that it hits the lip and goes backwards and lands at a spot where I can actually hit it.
Wow.
And that's exactly terrible. What happened. Mm. So he hit the second shot out of the sand. It hits the lip. It goes up and backwards behind him and lands in the same trap. Mm. And he's got a face full of eyes full of sand at this point, too.
Did he get out after that?
His face got all the sand on it.
So he actually knew he was going to have to take his medicine.
Yeah.
Like he knew there was no way out of that.
Yeah. So so then he took the third shot out of the sand and got it up on the green.
Yeah.
And then he still had like a two putt, I think.
Wow.
But you talk about falling off.
Yeah.
Where in the world is
the first day?
Should have never got engaged.
Day one, he was in the lead, wasn't he? Or he was a clubhouse leader, I think, the first day. Yeah. Because he was like a minus six or seven the first.
What was Jordan before they
suspended play?
What was his 2018? I gotta check this.
You know, so while you're looking at that, so Adam Scott finished plus five on the day.
I like seeing Adam Scott back in
the
position.
Too.
But plus five. He was pissed at J.B. Holmes. We'll get more on that later.
Yeah.
I'm looking here. You got to go all the way down to number 36. Who is this? Kyle Jones finished plus five.
Oh.
So in the top 36, you had two at plus five for the day.
Okay.
You had two at plus five, and then you had Justin Thomas at plus four.
Yeah.
Man, wow.
He choked.
Yeah. I think it was a choke job. I don't see what a 2018, but I don't think he had any wins. He definitely didn't have any majors, but
he didn't have any wins in 2018.
Who are we talking about?
Speed.
Jordan Spieth.
Oh, and
they're not breaking down.
If you click, are you on PGA?
No, I'm not. I'll get there. But yeah, because this one
I think I can get.
So why was he upset with JB?
Well, not Spieth, but Adam Scott. Because Adam Scott J.B. Holmes is like a notoriously slow player on tour. And the conditions were already bad. Folks have been playing long, and they're like, he takes so long to take his shot. And I never noticed. I mean, I heard it before, but...
Well, he's normally probably not on the premier,
right.
Yeah, the premier group.
Exactly. And so Adam Scott just kind of made a big deal about it, about how slow the play was. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, if the rule is you get such and such minutes,
right.
And he uses it, then he's using it.
Well, so... Didn't that rule change this year where they was going to be more proactive in making players?
They tried to drop some of the minutes, yeah. But I thought that was just on search, like looking for your ball. Right.
Well, I was listening to another podcast, Tony Kornheiser, and they were saying that if the officials are not on your back and saying, hey, speed up, why do you have to? You know what I mean? In that situation, you know, if the time police are not on you, then hell with them.
Right. Because at the same time, we're out here being buddies. We're out here competing. And I got a chance to win. Yeah. And if, you know, I'm taking a little more time, then I'm taking a little more time. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Yeah. Now, with that being said, I hate playing with slow players.
Yeah, I do too.
Gosh, I can't stand playing with slow players.
Yeah, I go sit in a cart or something else. And I try not to, you know, normally if somebody is putting out, you're supposed to stay around the green and, you know, do whatever. I don't know. Because if you know the pros, they never go to the next hole. They stand there and wait for the people to putt out. So that is, I'm assuming, I put in air quotes, that is the etiquette that we stand around and wait.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm playing with somebody who's that slow and is getting on my nerves, then I go do something else. I go to my cart, I get me a drink, I, you know, whatever, clean my clubs, something to occupy that time where I'm just hanging around twiddling my thumbs watching you, you know, hover over this 2-inch putt.
No, especially like, you know, when it's a foursome, you would assume, look, we're playing ready golf. So when it's your turn, because no matter what, usually one or two people have swung their club before it's your turn. And even if you're the first one, by the time everyone finishes, you know where your ball is. You can kind of guess distance a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm just going up to the ball to measure up. You know, correct with them. Just make sure that
my alignment or whatever.
Exactly. Right. Yep. And even if I'm in the fairway, which rarely happens, but no matter where my ball is, I'm going up to get the accurate distance. And then I know it's between two or three clubs. Then I'm just making a choice, practice swing, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole, you know, sometimes, you know, you're playing with guys. It's like, look, the difference for you is like a 96 and a 98. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Or an 89 and a 93. Or even this low 80s. It's like, come on, man. Right. Like we're at this municipal course. Like, get on with it. Yeah. You know, but I think we do have to be, because we've talked about this on the podcast. We got to be conscious of the fact that just because they're playing slow doesn't mean they're necessarily slowing down the pace. Like, you could be a fast player. Right. And so I make allowance for that because I am a fast player. I like to just play, go, keep go, go. Right. Yeah. And so you got to make allowance for people, right, you know, with that. But sure, what is, like, with slow players, how do you?
I don't really know, because I typically play with the same group of people with you all.
We're the only ones that put up with you.
Well,
no, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Pretty much.
You're the only ones. You're the only ones that put up with my antics. But I think the only thing that drives me crazy is when people spend too much time looking for their ball.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's slow pace, but I don't really play with anybody who's just like, you know, breaking out the measuring stick and looking and switching clubs.
Like Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, exactly. Like doing all these between shots. Normally people just walk up. Hey, you think I'm going to hit them? No. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Right. And they swing.
Right.
But my brother Sean is notorious. I'm like, dude, it's a ball. Let it go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you're playing like a mojo or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's not an expensive ball.
Yeah, and you just saying he walks fast anyway, but he's like, woo, 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 woo. Switch directions. Woo, 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 woo. You know, and he'll just walk. You going to help me look? Like, I did for 5 minutes. I'm done.
Right. Like I looked around,
let me give you a ball.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to take this penalty. Like, well, actually, you are. Because you're not going to find this ball.
Right. You know? If you find it, you got to hit it from there. You can't.
Right. You can't just
pick it up and move it to the fairway and then say, oh, that shot don't count. Or no, it does.
Yeah. Yeah. You found your ball. Now hit it. Right. But I really don't. I mean, I don't like that. You know, like, I want to get in and get out. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit there. I don't want to. Nothing's worse than like when we played at the tournament.
Wake
the group in the group in front of us or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Where it was like, dude, come on.
You're right. Yeah. You know what? It's funny because almost to a fault, like I was told by my guy. So my guy John Ross, just to get on the podcast at Golf Tech, he was going through like, so what are you thinking when you're out there? What's your I came to the conclusion that a lot of times I start with the intention of I can't wait to finish, or I just want to finish and I want the round to be over, but I want to see what the score is, so much so that I'm rushing through each hole and I'm focusing on each shot. You know what I mean? It's like you start with the mindset of I want with the finish in mind, to where you don't focus each shot. You know what I mean? You're going to be out there for 4.5-5 hours anyway, even when you're trying to speed up. Like, just slow down and stop thinking about trying to finish.
That's true. You know,
so that's one of the things I gotta be mindful of, and not try to rush through certain rounds. And so maybe sometimes slow play annoys me for that reason. But you know, who knows?
Jordan Spieth, you asked earlier.
Yeah.
He didn't have any wins in 18.
He had none.
Zero.
Striking fear, as he once said. He strikes fear in the hearts of players.
It's crazy to me to think that he, because he was such on such a hot streak. Yep. Boy, Under Armour's guys really aren't.
They're hanging on a thread with Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's
open the basketball pants.
Yeah, and they're not sure where Bryce is going. So
yeah, no, you're right. Right. Yeah, spring training, like pitches and catches, were already reported for.
Yeah,
And,
you know, they're talking about collusion now. They're saying that the owners are colluding against him and
Manny Machado.
They're trying to like do some.
Speaking of collusion. You know, hats off to Colin Kaepernick.
Our guy.
Yeah, he got his. I really
it's between
like
60 and 80 million from what I hear.
Was?
Between 60 and 80.
Wow. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, great for him. And the AAF actually reached out to him to play, but he was like, it's got to be 20 mil.
20 mil.
And they were like, dude, we don't have that money. We're starting
he's
up.
Smart.
Yeah, no, he's smart.
Yeah.
He's
really smart. Like?
I ain't coming there for chump change.
Right. You know who I am?
He'll be playing for $250,000.
Right. No, good for him.
Yeah, no, great for him. You know what I mean? And so, you know, the money situation.
You got to think about something. Even Tom Brady could not beat the NFL with Deflategate.
Right. No, you're right.
He took that 4-game suspension on the chin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He tried to fight it and there was no fighting.
Right.
You still, the concussion, the whole, you know, CTE thing, NFL still hasn't lost on that.
And the NFL knew they were going to lose this one.
Right.
Because how
once they subpoenaed some text records and emails, ball game.
Yeah. Yeah. They were going to lose that one because it's obvious that there was collusion.
Yeah. I mean, what do you need? You know, someone tried to say to me, Friday, they were like, well, he was a bum. That's why he didn't get signed. I said, okay. Oh,
get out of here.
Sit by for a second.
Oh, said that Kaepernick was a bum?
That's absolutely. That's the you know.
Wasn't he one Michael Crabtree dropped from winning the Super Bowl?
Well,
wasn't that Crabtree who dropped it?
Yeah, but there's also, but they're talking about his last season in 2016.
Okay.
His numbers, by the way, because I'm sure that there are probably some listeners that think the same. Mm-hmm.
Some MAGA listeners.
Yeah. Coming off the bench, 12 touchdowns, 4 picks.
Uh-huh.
Like a 90.6 QBR.
Yep.
which, by the way, was better than like 16 starters mm-hmm. this year.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
What more evidence do you need?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, he wasn't even a starter. Oh, so Mark Sanchez was and these other bums right. they brought in?
Right. I mean, you look at all these other fools who teams are, and I don't mean to say fools. I don't want to take it out on the guys who are
call
working.
Them fools,
call
them clowns.
Yeah. These other guys who
bums.
Aren't.
Just
yeah.
call them bums.
These other backups. And, you know, even if you want to argue that he's not a starter, which he is on several teams in the league. Right. But if you want to argue that, like, look at all the backups in the league that's, you know, that mm-hmm. are journeymen or 2 or 3 years. I mean, what's Geno Smith, I think, is still on a team
that's
somewhere.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Geno Smith.
What's the quarterback's name for the Rams that was just in the Super Bowl?
Jared Goff.
Okay. Uh-huh. Look at his numbers this year.
Mm-hmm.
You would argue if the Rams had Kaepernick, they would have beaten the Patriots mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
If just look at it, his QBR was like a 74.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Right.
Crazy.
And the Super Bowl. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Super Bowl.
So
anyway.
So we're back to before we leave mm-hmm. J.B. Holmes, I have a few notes I made. Tony Kornheiser said he had the personality of paint. I thought that was pretty cool.
Somebody said on Twitter, they were a bunch of tour pros, lower level, who were clowning J.B. Holmes about his pace of play.
Uh-huh.
So one of them put on Twitter, paint watches J.B. Holmes drive.
Oh. How can you play with him? I mean, they got to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now
I'm like you, Claude. I've never paid attention just because I don't.
Right.
I'm not watching
he's
J.B.
not on
Holmes
my radar.
Usually.
Right. Yeah. You normally don't see him up. He's normally not featured in the feature group anyway.
Exactly.
You never see him.
How many wins do you know?
I have that information. I'm glad you asked. Good segue, Sherman.
Teed it up for
right on time.
We must do a podcast together or something.
Teed it up. I get it.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So since we talk about him, J.B. Holmes, 5'11", 190 pounds. He's 36 years old.
5'11"?
5'11", 190.
Okay.
He could use some weight training. Let's say it that way. 36 years old.
He's only 36.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought he was old.
He looks older. He's from Kentucky.
He's from
Kentucky. That's for you, Barry.
Mitch McConnell land.
Right.
Of course,
right.
He looks older. Like the poorest state in the union.
He's a UK grad. From Campbellsville, Kentucky, which is just outside of Louisville. Turned pro in 2005. So here's the numbers.
Okay. 13 years.
Right. 301 events.
Mm-hmm.
He made 213 cuts.
That's pretty not good. Bad.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He has one win, actually. Well,
one?
I'm sorry. I'll take that back. Yeah.
One.
Well, he has two now. No, I'll take that back. He has five. I'm sorry.
What are you looking at?
My numbers. This is my stuff right here. I'm a little confused in my own writing.
Ones do look like fives.
Yeah. So he's got he's basically got one win every 3 years.
Something like that.
Win on tour.
Yeah. He has five wins. He has 41 top tens. Okay.
He's getting money.
Okay. Okay. What's his career earnings?
You said 41?
41 top tens.
You want to go? Or
yeah, I'll go. I'll go. He's at about 16 million.
Okay.
16?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a lot more. Well, yeah, 41. I'm going to say 22 million.
Okay. You'd be closer. 24.8.
Good night. Because I figure 40's up the top 10. You split that in half, then 20 million.
Yeah.
I just went a little lower.
If he was on the LPGA, he'd be at about 3.5 million. Right.
Exactly.
Maybe. Maybe. $750,000 with that many top 10
right. finishes. Yep. Which is a crying shame, by the way.
Yep.
We speaking say it because that, it's a sham, not because it's funny.
Yeah, right. No, it's crazy. And did we have anything else on this tournament, or do we want to move to the LPGA we're just talking about?
Oh, well, one, we got to do the Manny Millions.
Yeah, we'll get to that one too. The other
thing, I want to talk about Cameron Champ.
Okay. So the final thing I have for the Genesis is, again, Ryan and I was talking about that this morning. He brought this to my attention. It was how Tiger ended up with, he was minus six. His take home was $100,788.
Mm.
Okay. If he had been minus seven, one stroke back.
Right. Because he would have finished tied for 15th.
Right.
If he had just gone even yesterday because he was plus one, I think he would have been ninth or something.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, which would have been $177,600.
Oh, wow.
So he would have went up 77. So basically one stroke is $77,000.
Wow. Mm. There you go.
One stroke. If he was Matt Kuchar, he could have tipped the guy $80.
Right, right.
$80.
Yeah. So apparently, he was getting heckled too.
Kuchar?
Kuchar was getting heckled. Well, you know, told Coach, if I would have been, I would have been yelling El Cheapo every time he hit the ball.
Well, you know, it's funny. I posted that article on our Facebook page because for whatever reason, PGA posted that story this week.
Right.
It was, and we kept talking about it three weeks ago.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, what happened? The caddy, his nickname is L something. I can't remember what it is. But he didn't let it die. He kept going. He went back to reached out to his manager, to Kuchar's manager, like, hey, dude, y'all need to come up with some more cash because this ain't working for me. And basically, social media pressure got to Kuchar.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
And, right. Mm-hmm. But what I was surprised though, and Coach B and I talked about this was via text was, why didn't Skechers or whoever he's, you know,
just give the dude,
like, dude, you get bad publicity now. You need to get rid of this now. Mm-hmm. Either they put the money up, you get him up, get him. Somebody need to pay this guy off and set him up and get him out of the news.
Right.
Because we taking a hit for that.
Yeah.
I literally don't understand how you have an agreement with the dude. You're going to pay him $5,000 or whatever. That was the number, right? 5,000.
I think it was 5,000.
But then
it was 4,000.
It was 4,000.
He gave him 5.
See, it's 4,000.
See, that's even worse.
And then how much did he end up winning?
One point three.
Like, come on, man. Million. Like, how are you just going to give this to?
Yeah,
like,
even
the agreement was four. Right. You didn't give him five, like an extra thousand.
Yeah, I mean, even 1% of that would have been 100,000.
Yeah, but here's the messed up part. For Kuchar, then he said in his comments about I gave him $5,000. That's a lot of money. You know, he made it. He made some comment that said,
that's a lot for him.
That's a lot for him where he lives. You know,
so he's very tone deaf.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And if you're saying, well, we had a contract for four, I'll give you five. I've been like, well, keep your 1,000. Because really what you're saying is nothing else matters, just the contract.
Right.
So why'd you give him 5? Because you felt like he deserved more. But you're going to, that's the slap in the face.
Right.
It would have been better for him just to give him 4. Right.
In the contract, in the contract that we're talking about is a verbal contract. There was nothing on paper. This is a verbal contract between the two men. Well, they shook hands on it. Now here's the deal.
Well, that's even stupid.
The 4,002 was for a top 10. So because
serious?
Yeah. They had it. They had some, you know, some scale there, you know, for top 10.
Well, see, I didn't know that part.
Now, but they never said, there was never an agreement that said, if I win, I will give you
But
X.
Even 4,000 for a top 10 is nothing.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, we just said that.
But in Matt Kuchar world, looking to this caddy in Mexico, wherever the hell he was, he's like, that's a lot of money down here. You know how many pesos that
again,
is?
Again, tone deaf.
Right.
So,
yeah, because it
and he literally could have just came on and he'd be like, oh, you know what? It didn't dawn on me how bad this is. I'll square it up.
I lost a lot of respect for him with that.
Yeah.
And that's really.
Because I mean, even watching it, and every time I saw him, all I could think about was that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People would always be like, Kuchar, you know, they yell out.
Cooch, yeah, cooch, right.
So, but now every time I see him, all I can think about, cheapskate.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that. And that's back to your point where Skechers should have gotten out in front of it.
Yeah.
Or whoever.
Right. Yeah.
Matt should have gotten out in front of it. His manager, anybody should have said, look.
Said, yo, this is a bad look. We got to make sure we got to.
Right.
Pay this guy off and shut him up. Get him out the news.
It's literally going to just cost you.
Should have pulled in NFL.
Because you could even get I mean, you could give him $50,000. You can give him anything more than four.
But I think that's what they end up. I think that's from what I heard. I believe I read or saw somebody said he gave him 50. End up giving him 50 grand,
and he's still
less than, still
right.
Probably
still less than 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, half of what he would have given
his other guy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there you go.
So Champ did not make the cut.
Cameron Champ did not make the cut. Nope. But you said a couple weeks ago that that's your guy, and then it was just confirmed this weekend.
Yeah, and I keep calling him Champion for whatever reason. Maybe it's good omen for him. So he posted on Instagram because he was doing something with Troy Mullins during the week leading up to the Open. Where they were doing like in the inner city, they were down there like teaching golf. He had his Nike Equality hat on, you know, the LeBron brand and stuff. So he wrote this on Instagram. I thought it was really classy. He said, even though it wasn't the result I was looking for, it was another memorable week in LA on and off the course. Returning to Riviera a year after I received the Charlie Sifford Memorial exemption, with 2019 marking the 50th anniversary anniversary of Mr. Sifford's victory at the LA Open and the 10th anniversary of the memorial exemption itself was really special for me and my family. Thanks to everyone that helped make it an awesome week, and to Genesis USA, he's tagging Genesis Open and TGR live events, whatever that is, for putting on a great 2019 Genesis Open. And congrats to JB on the win. Can't wait to be back next year for even bigger and better things. Hashtag Genesis Open, hashtag Charlie Sifford, hashtag grow the game, hashtag inspire, hashtag inclusion, hashtag Black History Month.
Huh. There we go.
Yeah. And you never got those last two tags from Tiger.
What, inclusion and Black History Month?
Yeah.
You what?
You would have never got that from Tiger.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Interesting conversation we had this weekend, Claude.
Because he's not black. He's Capra Asian.
We'll get to and we'll get to a conversation well, about
we talked about
what
this.
Somebody said about this. But so Cameron Champ is really kind of taking. We'll talk. You want to talk about it?
Yeah,
now?
Go ahead.
You
know, because
so
no, the best part of what you just said was he was hanging out with Troy.
Well, yes, of course. Funny because I was telling Bernanda, I said, you know, if golf was smart, he would be the poster boy of the sport right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right now. Take Ricky off. Mm-hmm. Take whoever else you have. Mm-hmm. Because this kid's going to win.
Right.
One, he hits the ball country mile.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is he the... Can he hit it the furthest?
I think he's the highest average right now in the tournament.
And he's a rookie.
In his rookie year. Yep.
The kid.
318, just off the top of my head.
And he crushed one last week to stay in content to make the cut. Right. 375.
Right. What are we talking about here? What are we doing out on the course?
It's a different game.
Right.
And he's not a big guy. That's the part that's amazing to me about. I'm sorry.
No, go.
But that's the part that amazes me about the guys that are long hitters are not big people. I mean, like in baseball, it used to be the big guys on steroids was dragging the ball out of the yards and stuff. You know, little guys was infield flies and stuff like that. Then golf is it seems almost to be just the opposite, other than DJ, he's not big, but he's tall.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ricky Fowler, JT, all those guys are crushing the ball, and they 5'9".
That can create a lot of torque.
Yeah. Like torque. It's a good swing. Yeah. And to your baseball analogy, like Ken Griffey Jr. was never one of the biggest guys, but he had the prettiest swing.
Yep.
And that's what these golfers are doing. They're not trying to crush it. They just have a perfect swing. I mean, McIlroy can hit it.
Yeah.
And he's a little guy.
Right. I don't think it'd be big to create club head speed.
Yeah. You know, so. Yeah. But he's just, I mean, one, the kid, he is biracial, but he looks white. If you see it, he looks like a California. He's a good looking kid. And I said, they can market him to death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because one, he's going to appeal to everyone because he's very comfortable in who he is.
He's not going to appeal to the MAGAs.
Well, they may not know if they see picture of him.
Right. They won't
not know.
Right. That's true.
He would appeal to them.
Right. That's true.
Because he's a good looking kid. And, but he's
undercover black.
Yeah. But he's very comfortable with who he is. And he wants to grow. I mean, he literally wants to grow the game.
Right.
He's proud of his heritage. You know, he's proud to have, you know, a father who's black. I think his father, I don't know if his father's black or mixed or whatever.
At least that's what I remember.
Like, yeah. Cause I saw the picture with his grandfather, I think.
What's that?
It normally works that way. Well, but I know his grandfather is. I'm just saying, I didn't know.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah,
normally, if his father is whatever. You missed it. Maybe Claude got it.
It just normally works that way.
No, I meant, I didn't know if his father was 100% black or if his father was mixed.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. He's comfortable with, you know, with his heritage. Yeah.
Right.
That's going to appeal. And so what this guy, Al Johnson, who Claude and I will talk about, we were talking after basketball this weekend and he made a comment and he said he's going to do more for us than Tiger ever has. I would venture to say he's done more for us now than Tiger ever had, as far as that's concerned. But Claude,
when you say not for the game, but as far as for black people in the game or black people in general.
Correct. Bringing
recognition. Blacks in general.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And Claude made a good point. Claude said Tiger brought us to the game.
Right.
But he's going to include us in the game.
Yeah. Tiger brought us to the game. He's the reason why a lot of us play.
Right.
You know, but that wasn't Tiger's intention. You know what I mean? Right. Like Tiger wasn't intentionally trying to bring black people to golf. Right. Black people, you know, came to Tiger.
And was like, what are you doing here?
He was like, you know, I'm a couple Asian or whatever. Right. So, you know, he like wouldn't even say, you know, and wouldn't really talk about the whole bringing more blacks to the game and stuff like that. Right. So unintentionally, he brought us to the game. Mm-hmm. Cameron Champ might be the guy who advocates for blacks, who, you know what I mean? Who wants to grow and bring. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole community around it. I mean, I follow some people on Twitter, Black Girls Golf or something like that. I mean, you know what I mean?
We got them on our page.
And so there's a whole lot of this whole movement. I think Cameron Champ would be one of the ones who kind of, you know, champions that, no pun intended, but I think that, I think that's a good deal. You know what I mean? And then we started the conversation about, especially with Tiger and Jack playing a round of golf with Trump.
With MAGA.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Pictures and all, you know what I mean? And so I brought up the question, is the Tiger effect strong enough to where people won't abandon him, even though he played golf?
Yeah, you know, because, taking selfies with Trump.
Because the thing is, again, you know, whether things are so polarizing right now that people will literally abandon. I mean, black dudes wanted to give up on Jim Brown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jim Brown.
Yeah,
I gave up on him.
I mean, Jim Brown and Jim Brown.
Steve Harvey.
This is the dude.
Kanye West.
Yeah, and Jim Brown. I mean,
hey, Steve Harvey.
Jim Brown's a dude who's done work with gang members in LA. You know what I mean? Like this dude is legit in what he's done in the community. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I wonder if the love of Tiger.
Now you suspect because you hanging out.
And Tiger ain't done nothing like Jim Brown's done for the black community.
Exactly.
So I'm wondering how this is going to affect people's relationship with one Eldrick Woods.
I saw an interview on. But they rained out. That was Thursday. It rained out. So maybe it was on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He did the press conference at the tournament. And it was about 20 minutes he was up there. I got to watch about half of it. And he was asking him about that. When they took the questions, that people were asking him about playing with the clown at the White House. And and he said one of the questions was, they asked Tiger, so, you know, understand you played very well. How did the clown play? Mm-hmm. And Tiger was very political in his answer, meaning he never answered the question.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
He talked about playing with Jack and how great Jack was putting and this, that, and the other. And then he slid this thing in there, this little note into the conversation, but nobody followed up on that. He said, it was great to play with the president and I, two presidents in 2 weeks because I played with President Obama last week. Mm-hmm. And then then the following week I played with
he was trying
Trump.
To stay safe.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to slide that in there. It's like, I played with him, but I played with this one too. You know what I mean? So I'm still Cabal Asian in here, right?
I'm still Cabal Asian.
I'm still walking
equivalent of I'm not racist, I have black friends.
Right. There's one guy that I'm friends with, he's black. And then you know.
But the damn shame of it, I just thought about this, is that so we have other black men, well, another one, the other black guy, and you don't hear jack about him.
Harold Varner, the other black guy.
Well, Harold Varner doesn't win.
He plays well, though. He plays very well.
Yeah, and the bottom line
and is, he's always wearing J's, by the way.
Yeah.
He's always wearing
J's. Which might be why he doesn't win. but people love winners.
That's true.
So
you gotta win to be a spokesman.
What do you guys think about this Tiger Trump thing? Like, is that going to be enough? Like, do you think that support for Tiger from the black community, who again, by the way, that Tiger's never really embraced,
Right. No.
You know, but he's been idolized by him.
Yeah.
Right. Like, is that enough for people to say, I don't know if I want to support this dude?
Well, go ahead. Well, I don't know if there's a lot of support for Tiger.
They stuck behind him with Waffle House.
Well, I think that's more of him being.
We can all relate to Chase and Holmes.
We can't fault him for that.
Of course he got women on the side. He's rich. He's a billionaire. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Leave the man alone.
Right.
So,
but I don't know if the black community really supports Tiger.
Right.
I think there's a black golf community
okay.
that is more that likes because that's who brought us to the game.
Right. Okay. Right. And he looks like us whether we want to accept him or not.
Right.
He's the closest. He accepts it, I should say.
Right.
He looks like
he's a black golfer. I mean, honestly, he's black. I don't get
He can say what he want, but you know, if he get pulled over, you black.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, if they don't know who he is, he black.
Yeah.
Put him in my car and let him get pulled over and see what happens to him.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I think that that's where it is, because it was before. There was nobody like us playing golf.
Right.
Winning.
And allowed to. Like you talk about this all the time, and then you even go further back, like even allowed to play on tour.
Yeah. With
In
the 90s, he was not allowed to play at a course in Birmingham.
Right.
I mean.
Right. Mm-hmm. If he ever doubted whether he was black, shows you.
You thought that would have been. Yeah.
Right. Right. But he missed such a great opportunity, man. I mean, he could have been. I mean, you can still consider him black history if you want, but he could have embraced that. Like, I want to be the greatest golfer ever. And I want, as a black golfer, you know what I mean? Like I want I want to beat Jack's record. I want to be the guy this guy was the best golfer, period. And he's black.
Well, so did Michael Jordan did the same thing.
I don't know if Jordan made it
But I'm saying
Tiger
ever.
Should have taken it
in a predominantly white sport. Yes.
Right.
But my point is Jordan did nothing for the community either.
Oh yeah, sure. Sure. Right.
He ended up being the greatest ever.
But Jordan was all about his dollars. He was all about business.
So was Tiger.
Jordan made the famous statement, Republicans buy shoes too.
Right.
And right. So the question is, does Tiger, you know, did he see the marketing? Did he look from a marketing perspective and say, if I attach myself to my race, you know, and put that out front, does that make endorsements go the other way?
Mm. Yeah, I believe it does. Yeah.
I mean, well, you I know mean, what?
He looked at it from a financial standpoint.
Well, and let's be honest, like you said, I mean, it's not like it's 100 years ago where blacks couldn't play at certain courses. Right. That was in modern history.
It was, yeah. I was in college two years in Birmingham after that happened.
Right. I mean, and look, Augusta just let women be a part of the, honestly,
last decade.
That's questionable because it was kind of Lisa Rice.
Right. I mean, so.
If it was any woman, it was going to be her.
Right, exactly. And it's like, it's got to, it's just wild. Like that's not a far-fetched statement. You know what I mean?
Right.
That he could literally think that by embracing this game as a black man, I could be hurting my pockets.
Right. But
he should have Colin capped up.
Well, there you go.
And said, I'm going to do it anyway.
Right. There you go. And you have people now. Mm-hmm. Now Kaepernick was not the top of his game.
Right.
But we understand that.
Yeah.
But he still took
that stand.
He's probably sleeps better at night than anybody else on earth.
Sure.
You also have LeBron, who has turned around and said, I mean, you know, he doesn't really care. He did the he did a 180 from Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And said,
oh yeah,
I want to be the best player, but I'm also going to look after my community and open schools and this and that.
And I think the part that Tiger missed too, even once he got to a point where he had the notoriety, he had the majors, he was the face of golf. Mm-hmm. He could have easily just flipped it then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you've got all those people in your pocket now. You can't say it's a money issue now because you got all the money.
Yep.
And now that you're making money, no sponsorship or whatever are going to walk away from you now because of who you are.
Right.
So he has an opportunity that he could do that and keep his money and make more money. Mm-hmm. But he chooses not to.
And the funny thing to me that happened was really predominant. Most of his fans were white.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Because there's just not a lot of black
people
playing golf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when his downfall came, everyone turned on him except
the black people
for black golfers.
Mm-hmm.
And the only support majority of the support he had was from the black golf community.
Yep. So
now he's on his rise back up and everybody's jumping back on the bandwagon.
Yep.
But he still doesn't recognize it.
But back to the so the question I had, so as two black golfers who were brought to the game by watching Tiger, outspoken, you know, rightly so against Trump and the MAGA, you know, the whole thing. Does that affect the way you guys see him? Like, will your rooting habits on Sunday be different if he's in contention?
Yes,
and it's okay. And it's okay to be. And here's the thing: like, we live in this society where everything's got to be this hot take and yelling and screaming. Like, no, it's okay to be conflicted about something. Mm-hmm. Like,
everything's not black and white. Mm-hmm. There's some gray in there. So.
There's some Sherman Gray in there.
So yeah, because I've had this conversation too about that, and because Rodney and I always. Again, it's Ronnie's story, but we always so when Ty
he never talks about his wife, just Rodney. Hey,
wife don't play golf, at least not well enough to talk about. She sleeps in the carts. So what we normally do is, so let's say Tiger is doing well. Mm-hmm. Rodney and text him and say, "Hey, my boy is doing this. You know, mm-hmm. he's doing good." When he's doing, and then when he's doing bad, he'll text and say, "Your boy is messing up."
It's much like parenting.
Exactly.
Kid does something wrong, it's your kid.
Exactly. Yeah. So when I, even yesterday, this weekend when he was playing, you know, with all this in the backdrop of him and the clown, I still rooted for him, but that picture is still in my head. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And like the Kuchar thing.
Right. So what I really don't know with Tiger, and it would probably help me make a decision on how, on how to deal with this confliction I have, is where is he politically?
Okay.
He's a Republican.
Seriously. Now, I understand. I have some Republican tendencies. Mm-hmm. Sure. You know what I mean? Because
I think most people lean both ways on certain issues.
Right. Exactly.
Of course. Yeah.
But in my opinion, anybody who's rich is probably Republican.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Because that's the money part.
Protect your money.
Exactly. So,
I mean, it's fact.
Yeah. Again, so.
Now I'm just laughing because he preceded that statement by saying, "I have Republican tendencies."
Yeah.
But then he talks about being rich and how most rich people.
Yeah. But anyway, go ahead. But you can also be those people.
I get along with a lot of Republicans, but those Republicans I get along with are not Trumplicans.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I mean, because it's a
know he's a clown, but
and they know he's a racist and he's a xenophobe and he's a womanizer and he's this and he's that. Yeah. And they know he's bad news for anybody.
I just don't understand anybody
who
has
male.
Any kind of women in their life who is in the workforce can vote for somebody who says, "I'm rich, I can grab them by their pussies and just
kiss."
Like, if you have a woman in your life, how do you vote for a guy who says he does that and your wife goes to work?
No. How do women vote for him?
Well, how does women? You know, how do women do that? If you have women in your life, how do you vote for someone who says literally that's what he does?
Right. White women put him in the White House.
Yeah. I have a coworker, and last week we were all went to happy hour. Like four of us to get together, we saw all for happy hour. And it's me and four white women. We go to happy hour. And the one lady is a Republican. And
how many drinks before the conversation?
Well, we
like a reverse order.
Right. Exactly. Right. I'm a double sandwich.
At least
now.
I got two
on each side, right?
Reverse order.
So
at least you're hoping that's how it ends up.
A couple of them are pretty old, but still. We always steer away from politics because everybody knows this one lady is that she actually voted for Trump.
Okay.
And somehow we normally stay away from. But again, after the third round, you know, the conversation changes and it kind of goes toward the clown.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point I wanted and she was talking about Trump or whatever. And I so wanted to ask her. So if I grabbed you by the pussy right now, it'd be OK.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I really wanted to ask her that, you know, but we still work together, too. So I don't want to go down that path.
Right. But that's
to answer your question, there's that old adage. Uh-huh. Right. And Republicans have used. I mean, I don't want to steer us whole, but they have. They have used in order to get poor white people to vote for them is, you're poor, but you're still better than the richest black person.
Yep.
And Trump has taken that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how
Chris Rock said it in a joke. He's like, he said white people wouldn't want to change spots with me.
No,
like,
they wouldn't. The poorest white person.
Which white person in here would want to be me? You're like, see, nobody raised their hand. He said, I'm rich.
But Trump has used that and completely dominated, and that's why I said I think most Republican. Like, I'm fine with you being a Republican, but
don't be.
This
stupid.
Is different. Yeah. You know, this is different thing. So I think that's where the issue with me with Tiger comes in. Like, dude, he hates everything about your skin color.
Right. Yeah.
So he's made a career and gotten rich off predatory. Predatory renting and everything else.
So when it comes. If I'm understanding you correctly, we can move off this quickly soon. But when it with Jim Brown, there's no like.
Well, I'm not been a Jim Brown fan anyway because he used to beat up on his wife and and all that. You know, he was doing jail time for beating his wives and stuff like that. So I've never been a Jim Brown fan. So I'll preface that.
Okay.
Whatever he's doing, neighborhood is great. Leave your hands off your woman.
Right. Yeah. No.
So Jim Brown's not a good
example,
I guess. Jordan, Tiger to me is like Jordan.
Okay.
Like, I think if Jordan could play golf with Trump, he would.
Okay.
And he probably has.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if you hadn't.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So. Yeah.
So, but Jordan is like, he's still the greatest at his game. Mm-hmm. Like, you love someone being that great.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily affect your rooting habits for Tiger.
It does because it bothers.
It bothers you.
Yeah. Let me say this. Mm-hmm. If him and Cameron Champ are going head to head for the Masters, mm-hmm. I'm rooting for Champ.
Okay. Right. Okay. But if it's Tiger.
If it's Tiger and Phil.
I'm JB Holmes.
Yeah. If it's Tiger and Sergio.
Right. Exactly.
You're going to put on a red hat and root for Tiger.
Right. Exactly. But I think it's also more like, it's kind of like that, this, I don't know if this is a great example. It's like that ex-girlfriend who like, man, you broke my heart, man. I loved you. Now mm-hmm. you're doing this stupid nonsense, mm-hmm. you know, but okay. Well, you doing well, like see you doing well, whatever.
Yeah.
But
see, I don't like to see anybody who like brings me pain do well.
Well, I mean, I've been married 16 years. Nobody brings me pain anymore.
Nobody brings me.
Yeah, okay. The only one that does, I'm married to.
That's what I was going. That's what I was wondering you was going. Your pain is in the house.
All right, cool. So, yeah.
I love you, Bernanda.
She knows I'm joking.
LPGA.
If she brought me pain, I wouldn't still be in here 15 and a half years later. Hold on. Manny Millions. Did you do that yet?
Yeah, we're coming up.
Okay.
Today when I was doing my little research on JB Holmes and such, I happened to notice that Nellie Korda,
mm-hmm. Korda, yeah, Korda. Sister of Jessica Korda. They look exactly the same. Jessica's older, but
this still... isn't the two that the running back and linebacker.
No,
Ari and Moria.
No.
These two look exactly the same.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, the other one's hot. She's hot. So what struck me was she won 17 under par. And her take home for winning, it was a Honda something. I forget the name.
It went Australia, basically. Yeah. It's like the ISP.
The Honda something, whatever. Mm-hmm. The purse for the entire tournament, I mean, the entire field gets paid out of $1.3 million. She took
the
home.
The exact same that JB
Holmes
won.
Coming in
everybody
place.
Gets
and by the way out. I wasn't laughing at this thing like as we're doing the show I'm checking some golf tweets and the PGA Tour just tweeted out Phil Mickelson doing a practice round and he's wearing shorts and just looks so weird.
Flip-flops.
He just looks so
that's his move right there. He always has on a black stop too. He always in a black shirt for some reason.
All right, anyway,
like shooter Gavin.
So the gist of it is Nellie won $195,000 for coming in first place.
Wow.
And JB Holmes won $1.3 million
for coming 10 in times. First place.
Gotta do better.
Yeah. And I thought about this too, as I was, so they're in Australia. Now suppose you lived here in the States and you know, nobody's paying your way to go there. You got, you know, you're paying your airfare, your hotel, da da da, your traveling expenses. You go all the way there. And let's say you come in tied for 15th place and you take home $16,000, and it probably costs you five to get over there.
Sponsors will pay for that, but
at least half of it.
We can only hope. I mean, really, because if not, you know.
Yeah, but how much are they making from their sponsors? It can't be that much.
I don't know.
You don't see that many women golf LPGA commercials.
Right. No, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're really gambling on yourself to go.
No, you're right.
I don't know if I could do it. Like that's my job. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like if I save up and go there for vacation is one thing, but you're really gambling.
Right. And remember, this is that was the 15th place. That was suppose you came in 45th.
Right.
No, you probably got $2,000.
Right. And a bag of peanuts for the flight back.
No, you're right. Long flight.
And
back.
A Diet Coke.
Yeah. So yeah.
All right. Well, that's that. So Manny Millions thing and then Bernhard Langer.
OK, so Manny Millions, this week's last place winner was, you ever heard of him? Cody Gribble.
Of course not. I haven't.
No. Cody Gribble.
You haven't?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Okay. So
this is this does not happen often.
All right. So
Claude doesn't know somebody.
He finished plus 12. He won a grand total of $13,912.
So he won $13,000 and the 15th player place. On LPGA
116,000. Yeah. Right.
Good night.
Right. I think that actually, if I remember, I don't have it written down, but the last place person for the women was like 2,000 some things. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. So Cody Gribble, he is 5 foot nine, 165.
Everybody's 5'9". Exactly. They're all like 5'9", 5'10".
5'9". It's a short guy.
Yeah.
That's J.B. Holmes is 5'9".
Well, I'm 5'9". Thank you.
No, get out of here.
5'9". Yeah. I think 5'9", 5'10" is the average height for American men.
Yeah. Okay. And actually, this is
pretty
average. This is my weight, too, because I'm at 167. This guy's 166.
Wow, you too could finish last.
Exactly. I too could be a last place PGA player. He's 28 years old. He's from Dallas, Texas. He turned pro in 2013.
Okay.
He turned pro in 2013, but he played on the PGA Tour Latino America League. He did that for 2014.
Buenos Diaz.
Right. In 2015, he was the web.com.
I wonder if he likes Trump.
And in 2017, he came on to the PGA Tour. Okay, so here's his numbers. 69 events.
Okay.
28 cuts made.
Okay.
Two top tens. Hmm. And one win, which was in 2017 at the Sanderson's Farms Tournament. I don't know where that is. How much money has he made in his career?
$3.5 million.
Okay.
I was gonna say.
Let me tell you one point. Remind you
two top tens.
One win.
Yeah.
Two top tens. So that one of those top tens is a win.
Yeah.
Okay. And 28 cuts.
Okay. I'm gonna say $1.8 million.
Damn! Did you see my notes?
No.
No.
It's 1.8?
Yeah, 1.8.
Hey! Sure,
two
right
for
on the
two
number.
Today. Two for two.
Yeah, so when I started writing, looking up his personal stuff, the first thing I wrote down was boring because I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything of note. And it is still pretty boring. He has a twin sister. Oh, big dude.
Is she also 5'9"?
165.
The other notable thing was he played he came from the Texas Longhorn Championship team, the same team that Spieth was on.
Spieth, yeah. Nice.
Right, so he's the
Who
second.
Was the other kid that was on that team that never panned out?
Corey Gribble?
Yeah, I'd say might have been him.
But now, you have seen him on some highlights because I looked it up today. There's a video floating around of him at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in 2018 where he's walking up to the hole and there's an alligator by the water.
Oh, and he walked over to it and hit it by the tail, and it went in.
Yeah, so that's Cody. That's the Cody Gribble.
He almost never won.
Right.
Because he should have died that day.
Well, they show two reactions. They show Cody going up to hit the alligator on the tail, and it goes in the water. Another player at another time was walking up and sees the alligator. He's walking on. Oh, shit, alligator.
And runs away.
Dinosaur.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's it for our boy Cody.
All right.
And we go to the club. Chubb Classic, which was the senior.
Because your boy.
Senior. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my new favorite golfer, Bernhard Langer, made it to the playoffs for the final. It was him, some dude named Olin Brown. I don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. And my other favorite senior player, Miguel Angel Jimenez.
Jimenez cigar.
Yeah, him and myself, car smoking. Whiskey drinking buddy.
Long hair. He's got long hair. Does Sierra like him?
I gotta see. I'll show her a picture. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. He wears them little tight polos and kind of walks with his chest.
So the other day,
walks like Bruce.
The other day, we were sitting in the hotel and I had the game, the tournament on.
Better than porn.
Well, they didn't have porn at this hotel.
Oh.
So I had no choice but to watch it all. And my your wife sees Fleetwood from the back, and she says, "Is that a girl?" I said, "No, he's
not a woman
long
on tour."
Hair.
Yeah, right? That's funny.
So Bernhard Langer, they got to the playoff. It was a par four. They replayed the 18th hole. Mm-hmm. Olin Brown and Bernhard Langer both bogeyed the 18th hole, and Miguel par. So he won.
Okay.
So, but again, last week he won.
Yeah.
Bernhard Langer. Mm-hmm. And this week he tied for second.
Jeez.
See?
So
this is what he does.
Yeah.
This is what he does.
I'm gonna start getting some videos from him and start see what mimicking his swings.
He's on the golf channel a lot. And he talks about his fitness routine and he talks about his short game
stuff.
That's
an obese guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should check him out.
Yeah,
basketball stuff. St. Vincent Pilati finished the season this past Saturday. Manny and I came to the game.
You did.
Coach B make it?
Okay. Coach B was there. You had a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good game. I mean, we won by 15, I think.
But I don't know when. All right.
Yeah, it's a good way to finish the season. Senior night, It's a nice presentation before. Had mm-hmm. real nice reception afterwards. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was nice, man.
Is alcohol?
No.
Oh, okay. Made but, Manny's day because he saw a lot of in-game dunks from your team. Pilate won, and he got a chance to shake the hands of some of the players.
Yeah.
So that made us, you know, you could have told him he was shaking Steph Curry's hand. Yeah.
I saw, man. So it was funny because I told Gil before the game, I was like, look, man, senior, I said, you need to throw down a few. I said, I got, you know, one of my buddy's kids is here, Manny. You're going to meet him after the game. I need you to get one. So at halftime, we came out, and Big Chris, our big kid who's hurt, the 6'9 kid, he was like, yo, you only got 16 minutes left to rattle this rim. He's like, I got it. And I think 2 minutes into the quarter, he had a fast break. And Coach Nye, kid with the hair, he like drew the defender and then just laid it off. And everyone jumped up like, here it comes.
There's no replay. You better watch it now.
Yeah. And then Miles got one. Big Miles, who plays golf.
Yeah.
He gets normally a few dunks a game.
Okay.
And then
he had like 5 blocks. Didn't you say he had 5 blocks?
He had 5 blocks. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
He had... I think we're waiting to find out. We think he led the league in blocks.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, he was averaging almost 4 blocks a game. Okay. I mean, last week he had 11 in one game.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Another, I think earlier this week he had 7 in one game.
Jeez.
I mean, he just, we call him block party. That's, you know. But, yeah, so then, and then Jamel got a dunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then he was, and then Josh, one of our seniors, went to see his parents who were sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
After the game. So Josh, you know, went to kind of hug his parents and said his last game.
Right.
And I see Manny up just clapping like, you know, like Michael Jordan's walking across the court.
Yeah, and he gave him a high five. He's like, you know.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. I didn't see that part because I walked to the locker room, but.
He stood in line right behind his grandmother.
Yeah.
Right behind the kid Josh's grandmother.
Yeah. And they put on a little dunk contest before the game, which normally is not allowed, but the refs had stayed in the locker room.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't know why, but I was like, shoot, just keep dunking. Head coach was like, tell him to stop.
Last game.
Go ahead. Go. Get your man. So Josh like threw down a 360 dunk. He's only 6'2", big dude. But so he liked those dunks
beforehand. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. It made his day.
Yeah. And then he got to shake hands with Gil and with Miles after the game. So
yeah, it made his day.
Yeah, and big thanks to Coach B for coming out. So I'm going to his game tomorrow.
It's tomorrow night.
It's their last regular season.
Where are they playing?
Gwynn Park.
Okay. Is it at Gwynn Park?
That's one.
It's at Gwynn Park.
Okay. Down Branch 301. Avenue.
Yeah, like down 301 there. But so here's the deal.
What time?
Probably says 7:15.
Okay.
So here's the deal. Our JV team, our freshmen. This is highway robbery. Freshmen went 13-1 in the conference. 14-1 in the conference. Their only loss in the conference was to Loyola, who we had also beat. We beat them by 9. We lost 3 bigs in the last 2 weeks, 6'4", 6'3", and 6'1". All 3 down. Broken ankle, 2 knees.
Oh, wow.
And Loyola beat us the last game of the season. We were undefeated. They beat us the last game of the season by 14. And they said the tiebreaker, because they beat us more than we beat them, they get in.
And y'all don't.
And we don't. So they got to play Spalding, who we beat by 45 points for the championship.
That's ridiculous.
Because it's 2 divisions, and Spalding lost like 6 games, 7 games. But because we're in the West and they're in the East or whatever.
So they just took the top 2 teams. That was it. Nobody else makes the playoffs.
That's it. The top from each division. For freshmen.
This is for freshmen. Right. Okay.
JV, only the top 4 make it. We had 1 loss to St. Francis. They had 1 loss to us. So, but St. Francis, same thing. Their point differential was, but they got the 1 seed.
Okay.
We got the 2 seed. So our JV is playing at Spalding tomorrow night.
Oh,
we lost
okay.
like 4 games.
Okay.
So I'm going to go there. For that game's if it was supposed to be Wednesday, but we got yet another snowstorm.
It's at coming. What time?
Yeah. 5 o'clock at Spalding tomorrow. So I'm going to go from work to Archbishop Spalding, leave from there and boogie on down to Gwynn Park for Coach's game.
I might make Coach's game. I got an eye appointment at 5, but I might.
Yeah.
I'll probably be out by 6. I should be out by 6.
Yeah. Long. So with ours, we missed the playoffs by 1 game.
Damn.
Okay. So we have St. Joe finished number 1 seed, St. Francis number 2. Loyola number 3, Glenel Country, the game you were
at.
We needed to win that.
Right.
Had we won it, we would have been in. We would have been in.
Right.
Yep. So we finished in 5th place. On the opposite side, we swept that whole division.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's 6 teams. We went 6-0 against them.
Mm-hmm.
Boys Latin ended up like 26-5.
Wow.
We gave them 2 of their losses.
Oh, nice.
They got the 1 seed. McDonough got the 2. We beat them by 9. Annapolis Area got the 3. John Carroll, defending MIA champs, got the 4 seed. How many wins, LB, did they have in conference?
7.
Claude?
5.
Let's go with 4.
Wow. Okay. Mm.
They were 4-14. No, 3. They were 3-15 in the conference.
Good.
So how did they get in the playoffs?
Because on their division, the top 4 teams make it.
Oh, jeez.
Right. And they were like 5-24 overall.
And they make it.
And then the playoffs were out.
That's some bullshit. I'm sorry.
No, so what we said, like, you should take, like, the NBA. Yeah. You won your division. Yeah. You won your division. Now let's take the next best 6.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where is what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, there you go. So, anyway.
And before your game Saturday, you had a chance to come out to the Upwards again.
Refing the freaking
5-6-year-olds. Like Sherm said,
they're 4-5.
They're 4-5. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Four
yeah, because that next one's 6-7.
Yeah. Like you said, like herding cats.
It's herding cats. But it's worse. I realize because the kid on the other team tackles everyone. So a shot. There's
yeah,
one.
So
play.
On the other team, there's 2 kids that always tackle, but yeah, one of them wasn't there. Yeah,
and I almost ran the one because I snatched him and I said, "Look, one more time, you're gone."
Yeah, we almost had to kick him out. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he starts crying. I'm like, well, you're crying now? Right. Like, you kicked the little girl.
One time he tackles the dude with the ball. I'm trying to remember whether it was either Josiah or it might have been Gabriella who had the ball. And he, tackles them, and they run into the stanchion.
Boom, boom, boom. No, it was like 4 kids went down.
Yeah, and then he's at the bottom crying. It's like, you're the one who caused all of this.
Yeah, and then Bernanda says, is it our ball up top? And Claw was like, so you didn't just see him tackle, 3 kids?
Yeah, she was like, blue ball, right? And I'm like, Bernanda. Like, he just tackled her. Like, no, it's not their ball.
Yeah, so they got to get that under control. Yeah. Not only that, Bernanda's team could not score, and Coach K could not score because the same kid, whenever they would have a kid bring the ball up, like Parker, Claude's boy that sucks his thumb and cries. He's just over in Never Never Land crying, sucking his thumb, trying to get out of the game.
Parker runs off the court and goes to his mom and starts talking to her. I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, get him back over here.
He's supposed to be guarding is dribbling the ball up the court, and this kid on Bernanda's team runs and tackles that kid.
And who's on his
who's
team?
Who's on his team?
Yeah. And then when someone else is, he stands in front of his own player, it's like, pass the ball, pass me the ball.
Give me the ball.
It's like, get out of
Bernanda's
their way.
Dragging the kid off the court, and and she lets him go, and he still runs back over, trying to block, I want the ball. I know you're on my team, but I want to shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're not as good as me. Give me the ball.
Yeah. 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 And so
But you did win.
Yeah. Did win. Mandy missed 2 shots. He's more interested in passing the ball. I'm trying to get him, dude.
I talked with him at halftime.
Yeah, he told me. He said, settle down and take a shot. But he'll get under there and he'll pass it to someone else.
And then that kid scores and he's pumping his fist. I'm look, dude, I got an assist.
And he's so excited about it. But he said he'll come down and he'll be wide open. He'll pass it off to Josiah or somebody else. They'll shoot. They'll score. Uh-huh. He's like, yes, yeah.
He's running back to half court pump. So at halftime, I said, Mandy, come in. I said, look, we're going to pad these stats. So you got a couple dimes. It's time to score.
Right.
Man,
right.
Don't pass the ball anymore.
Right.
Go down the court and shoot the ball.
Shoot the ball. Right. So we'll see if he learns and tries to.
So then after basketball, this is where we were talking to. There's a kid on Bernanda's team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On her older team, the first and second graders. Mm-hmm. And she's talking to the dad about something. And he says something about golf. His son, LB, 7 years old. Mm-hmm. Top 20 in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so here's my question. When all these young people, who is tracking a 7-year-old?
Who isn't? I mean, your niece. I mean, I'm saying your niece is ranked as one of the top 100 players
again,
in the country.
And I asked the same question. Yeah. Who is compiling?
It is a good question. I don't know who does.
They have events. Right. So they have qualifier, U.S. Right. Open qualifiers.
Yeah.
They have qualifiers for kids that age.
Okay.
He went to the qualifier. He won. Mm-hmm. And then he got invited to the world championship.
Right. Okay. Well, and then you mentioned that because I know her AAU team, they play all over the. Yeah. I mean, they've been as far west as the Mississippi, I want to say. St. Louis or something like that.
But she balls out too.
But the question, and it's killing my brother. I mean, because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to see.
Well,
the
AAU
kid, that's a lot of traveling and stuff. They're going to New York. They're down in, Myrtle Beach. They're all over the place playing these tournaments and stuff.
I have mixed feelings about AAU because I feel like largely it's a money grab. Mm-hmm. And there's really no
governing body?
Well, there is, but there's no offense.
Okay.
It's more like whoever has the ball, let's just go get some points. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when coaches are there, they're really kind of and analyzers, you know. Because, I mean, I'm in AAU tournaments every weekend recruiting. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know who the best player on the court is. Mm-hmm. That's who they're going after. It doesn't tell you if they know the game. It doesn't tell you what their attitude is like. And can they pick up in a, you know, a large playbook and things that.
Well, I will say, I will give the, I think his name is, I don't know his last name. His first name is Gino, I believe. That coach is here, her AAU team. And I have seen, they do
Gino
run
Smith?
Plays.
No, I was supposed to say.
They do run plays.
Gino, I mean, R.E.M.
And he, yeah, he has certain phrases.
Got to go to Gino Smith, the football reference. Yeah, Gino R.E.M. is something. Anyway.
But yeah, so they do actually run some stuff. But yeah,
some of them do, but it's not, it's not as detailed as like a high school program.
I got you. I got you.
Yeah. So this kid Clarkson, he could stripe it, man. So his dad told me, and Claude, I'm leaving, and Claude, guy texts you, and Claude, and he comes running across the parking lot on his phone. Sherman, who is this kid? He's looking at his phone. Like, and so the dad was talking to us, and he said, Al is his name.
Okay.
He said, I told Clarkson when he was little, he could play whatever he wanted. Didn't matter. Mm-hmm. But he was playing golf.
Oh,
there was no option.
Okay.
Like, you're playing golf, and then you can play whatever else you want.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's had a minute. But he belongs to Woodmore.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, our buddy Lamar is there. Uh-huh. I said, Lamar Barnes?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He said, I used to play with him all the time. Mm-hmm. But now his job changed. He said, before I was working on my own, and now I'm, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you don't get to see him as much.
Okay,
so,
cool.
But yeah, we said we would have him on and stuff.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And he's the best basketball player on Bernanda's team.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Number 14, I think
right? He's good.
He's good.
Okay. So pretty cool stuff, man.
Right here
in the DMV.
Right here in the DMV. And that's what we do, folks. Golf DMV. Sports, golf, basketball.
Don't forget politics.
Politics. It's all good.
Probably lost like five listeners.
And you know what? If someone stops listening to the podcast because of this intelligent conversation we just had, we don't need you listening.
Yeah, we just said we like Republicans. We just don't like Trump.
Yeah, we don't care about losing sponsors. We don't have any sponsors right now. And so we lose one with zero. What difference does it make?
Yeah,
right?
If you are interested in sponsors.
But if you are interested,
we got a package together.
Yeah. And with its prices as low as $75.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll make it very Republican friendly.
Right. Republicans buy ads too.
Right.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Peace.
Good night.
You're listening to the Golden Week.
This summer, dive into the many cools of San Antonio. Because as soon as the temperature rises, so does the fun, the flavors, the excitement, and the many cool things that make our city the perfect summer getaway destination. Come keep cool with amazing pools at the best hotels, refreshing adventures both indoor and outdoor, inspiring history and culture, culinary wonders, and the hottest nights of your life at the coolest spots in Texas. To plan the coolest summer vacation, dive into visitsanantonio.com/summer.